2-1, Time Warner, Channel 5, Fridays at midnight to see my show, Terrifying Tales of the Macabre. Or you can check us out on datv.org. So, I hope to see you there. Yes!
Activating jump drive.
Now, here are your hosts, Todd, Nick, Lisa, and Amber.
Welcome to Jump Drive Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm sure you've found us on iTunes. That seems to be how everyone finds us nowadays. But you can go to jumpdriveradio.com and download our previous episodes, see where we've been, and possibly where we're going. Joining me, once again, we have Lisa, Nick, and Amber.
Hi!
Hello.
And, well, I don't know about you guys, but I have a hankering to talk about comics today.
I do, too. I always have a hankering to talk about comics.
Comics sound great.
We've had good stuff happening to the Jump Drive Radio crew comic-wise.
There has been a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. Nothing. We've gotten some awesome swag. Dynamite Comics, who do the Green Hornet comics. They do Vampirella or Vampirella. I'm not sure how to say it.
Probably Vampirella.
I think it's Vampirella.
That sounds better.
Like Sarsaparilla.
Or, I love Sarsaparilla.
Wait a second, idea for new comic?
Sarsaparilla. they sent us a box of Green Hornet comics, a Green Hornet trade, some issues, and 2 issues of Vampirella. And I've read part of the Green Hornet trade, which was like Green Hornet Year One.
Mm-hmm.
So I've read part of that, and I read the Vampirella comics. And the Vampirella, I didn't really know. Apparently she's sort of a vampire, but she's also an alien.
Oh.
It's a good combination, though.
Yeah.
And she's got that really skanky, sexy costume.
Yeah.
She's very well endowed.
Now you got the fox's attention.
Oh, yeah. But I actually really liked those. I'm thinking about adding it to my pull list.
Oh, cool.
Right on. Well, you know, if you enjoy Jump Drive Radio, the best way to enjoy Jump Drive Radio is to enjoy the people who help make this happen, to support those who support us. So if you read comics, if you are so inclined to go out and find your favorite issues every week, make sure to ask about any title from Dynamite Comics.
Dynamite Comics also does The Boys, which is absolutely my favorite comic running right now. It's written by Garth Ennis. It's about a group of superhero guys that fight the corruption of superheroes, and it is the most effed up thing.
That's such
I've
a great premise. That is such a great
so
premise.
So, like, if Superman got bit by a vampire and became evil, they would come after him?
Or, like, Superman got so spoiled by his fame that he started eating babies and raping women on the side.
Oh, wow.
So
see, that's Superman I would read. And I'm a little biased because Superman bores me to tears.
Well, it's Garth Ennis. The writer is Garth Ennis, who wrote Preacher.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So you know it's going to be, you know, screwed up and awesomely written. But Dynamite Comics does that, too. And that comic title is amazing.
They're making a film version of Preacher, aren't they?
I think I heard that. I don't know.
Or am I getting that confused with something else?
I know they've been talking that for a while. Are you thinking, like, well,
they're making
Power or The Stand? I know they're going to do
Really?
The Stand.
I did. Wait a second.
Didn't they already do this?
Yeah, The Stand was
a
miniseries.
Miniseries, I think. Yeah.
Which I actually kind of liked it.
I would love to see the Dark Tower series done.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well.
Yeah, it would be hard to do well.
I don't know how they would do it. I mean, if they did it like The Walking Dead, they could do it, but it would be very time consuming. Now, supposedly, Opie,
that's awesome.
His name is not Opie. Ron Howard signed on to.
Wait, who is this Opie?
He played Opie for like 8 years and has been Ron Howard for the last 40.
And I'm like, well, back in Happy Days. Hey. But supposedly he's signed on to direct it, and they're talking about it being part feature film, part TV show. So I don't.
That either could work out really well, or that could be a disaster.
Exactly.
I feel like.
Yeah, that's the way. But I feel like any adaptation of The Dark Tower could be disastrous.
Well, I guess I'm just talking about trying to match up a film with a television show.
Yeah.
That what was the show about the aliens that came to Earth?
Feet?
No, the other show about the aliens that came to Earth.
Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks is never a TV show.
Welcome to Earth. What's that one called? Independence Day. Will Smith is in it. No, I watched iRobot last night and I was dying, and he saves a kitten. Sorry.
And it turns out he's part robot.
I know!
By the way, that's not in the book, just so everyone knows. iRobot, the book, is really, really, really good.
I know, and I love Asimov.
The movie is really, really terrible, unless you like Dos Equis and Converse.
Well, I think the reason iRobot wasn't a hit. Yeah, watching that again. He didn't do a music video for this one. And I think
Alien Nation. Damn it. That's what I'm thinking of.
James Caan.
Wow. Yeah. Well, no, in the original film, James Caan, and then like the next season they're like, this movie was good enough. Let's make a television show. And like,
it wasn't very good.
Well, it was okay.
You know what gets
it was okay for a season.
It works for two levels.
Spoiled milk. Exactly. And
then they have babies through their belly buttons.
And the salt water is like hydrochloric acid, because they had the one Russian roulette game where
Where their heads look funny? Is this something?
Yeah.
Okay.
I said where their heads look funny, and you didn't give me anything with it.
Oh, sorry.
It's an alien show where they come to Earth, and their heads look funny.
That could be.
It could really be.
I don't think I ever watched the show, though.
Really?
Yeah, I know I've seen the movie.
They had some guy literally like half of James Caan's age to play Sykes.
Okay.
Yeah, like...
It wasn't a smooth transition like Stargate.
No.
Stargate was a really smooth transition.
It was.
I thought that was
I never watched Stargate.
SG-1.
I mean, obviously, I saw the movie. I love the movie.
Literally, if you go back and watch the movie, and then after that, you start the first episode of SG-1, it picks straight up where the movie left off, and it's fantastic.
Yes.
My mom used to watch a show when it was like first came on, and I was like, oh, this is lame. And then, like, a year or so later, when, like, I started getting into it, too, and watching, like, you get attached to the characters. They're hilarious and intelligent, and... I think it's good sci-fi.
Yeah, so. I saw the first episode. I watched it with my mom, and Richard Dean Anderson is in it.
Yes.
And I watched it with my mom, and we're sitting next to each other, and we literally said in unison, that man has aged well.
I am more attracted to him now than ever. Like I would watch MacGyver.
He's so much better looking now than he was. He was good looking on MacGyver, but he is really good looking now.
Yeah.
No, he really is.
Good looking man.
He makes a good puppet, too. I think that was an episode as well.
Angel, was that before or after the Angel puppet?
My timeline with Stargate is screwed up because I literally like let it go way far ahead of me before I realized it was something I really wanted to get into.
Okay.
So I'm not sure, but there was definitely a puppet version of him that was very...
I don't remember that.
It was good.
Well, since we were talking about comics, since that's where we started off...
that's what happens. We get to talking. Yeah. This is how you know that the Jump Drive crew really actually enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
We'll sit here and talk about whatever comes up as conversation. So you just have to hang on for the ride. That's really all there
Wait
is to it.
Wait for it. Lisa, I loaned Lisa the first volume of my Gail Simone Secret Six comics.
Uh-oh. Yes.
And she's not quite finished with it, but I love Secret Six. And I was going to try to figure out what her favorite character is, but I don't know.
I'm not sure. I picked it up when you first gave it to me, and I started flipping through it, and then, I don't know, I kind of lost interest because I started playing through, Dragon Age, and that consumed me for like a week and a half.
That's understandable.
Because I dropped Dragon Age, and then I finally picked it up again and let myself start a new character and get way into it. So, Secret Six, while I enjoyed it for a day or so...
So when I asked you on Twitter, have you been reading Secret Six, what you meant to say was 3 weeks ago I read part of Secret Six.
Yeah.
All right. So I was like, talk to Miss Lisa Bunny on Twitter.
Yeah.
And tell her if she needs to get her butt moving.
At Miss Lisa Bunny Twitter.
Yes. Right. Go. Tell her about Secret Six.
And other comic book recommendations, because in this, actually, as far as Jump Drive go, I feel like Amber is definitely our comic book star. Like, she knows things we don't know. So we're not only accepting recommendations from her all the time, but also if you have any for us, you know, get a hold of us on Twitter and tell us, you have to read this. It'll change your world. Or discuss this one with Amber, and then I can seem like I'm hip to it.
Speaking of comics, Jump Drive Radio has been invited to cover the Gym City Comic Con 2011.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, in case you're not familiar with the Gym City Comic Con, it is a Comic Con hosted here in Dayton, Ohio.
The Gym City
Comic Con will be April 3rd, 2011. Please make your plans to join us. We will be covering the event. I don't know who all's going to be there.
I know Steve Englehart will be there. It's being sponsored by the Hero Initiative and
Fearless Reader, Comics, right? Yeah,
where you know, we get an awful lot of our comics. We love Fearless Reader.
Fearless Reader.
Rodney Ramos is going to be there. He was the inker on Transmetropolitan.
Oh, right on.
Okay. And, you know, Transmetropolitan is one of the best comic series ever.
Yeah, I'm a big Transmet fan.
By my comic book boyfriend, Warren Ellis. we're recording? What?
Awkward.
Yeah, Spider Jerusalem is one of my awesome favorite characters. He's amazing.
I dig Spider Jerusalem.
Yep. And actually, that references back to our first or second episode when we played
Does Tim know about this? That's right.
And he did not know who Spider Jerusalem was.
Well, the next time we have another round, we should ask him the same question to see if he's figured it out.
Yeah. I love Rodney Ramos. I've got a signed Transmetropolitan print from him. I've seen him twice at Dragon Con in Atlanta.
I know, I was reading, I'm not familiar with him, I've not actually met him yet, but I will, April 3rd, yeah. he has quite the resume.
Yeah.
Just wait, you guys need to be here. April 3rd, you can get more details, Google Gem City, G-E-M, Gem City Comic Con. It's just gemcitycomiccon.com, I believe, is the website. Yeah. We're definitely going to have a link there on Jump Drive Radio, so... feel free to click the link. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, we'll be doing like man on the street type interviews. We'll be walking around with the Jump Drive crew.
There definitely will be a silent auction, so you want to bring a couple dollars. And I'm sure you want to anyway, because we've heard that the vendors and exhibitors, actually, all those tables are sold out. This thing is really going to be a really big deal. They've been doing this for a few years now in Dayton, and every year it gets a little bigger than the last. So,
and there'll be really great deals on back issues of comics. You know, if you're looking for something...
Collectibles.
Yeah, that's where I come in. Like, I'm a big... I like to get my nerdy collectibles. Like, that's...
Excellent.
I have a collection of Daleks that all speak to me.
She really does. Your collectibles? Huh? Do you open them? Or do you leave them in the box?
Since I was a child, okay. There are certain things I've left in the box, and I keep them up out of sight because otherwise I will be tempted. Mm-hmm. But as a child, I couldn't help it. I had to open them. And... that's kind of ruined me. Also, I found a lot of collectibles in unexpected places, like thrift stores and things like that. So where, if they're gently used or, you know, new and newish condition, I don't care that they're not in packaging. Particularly with the Daleks, because I had this trick where I could get one to hold the rat, like, hold a, not a carrot, but like a cracker, and scoot around on the floor with remote control and, you know, yell, of course, exterminate, and things like that. And my rabbit would hop along after it. It was the cutest thing ever. It was like a little Dalek bunny parade.
I do the same thing. I open all of mine. Because I feel... Well, okay, not all of mine. I've got... Some of the ones I've gotten recently are still in packaging. But I feel like... the way I feel about my books is that... why have it if you're not going to play with it or read it or whatever?
Yeah, have it out and on display and things like that.
I'm probably really pissing off a bunch of geeks at this point who still have the new mint in package. But I'm not going to resell them. So why not take them out of the package?
Well, I think really what you're trying to say is, can you believe what they put on page 5?
Oh my God. Gosh.
Yeah, I can't believe it. So I guess you'll just have to open it to find out. No, I'm with you guys. I have a phaser, a next-gen phaser, and I also have a next-gen tricorder that as soon as I got them, ripped them open, put the stickers on, and threw batteries in them, and took them out with me on the town.
Took them like to work and to bars.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I really did. I have some, I guess, collectible Green Lantern action figures, and I've taken those to work and posed them in awkward positions and posted them on my Facebook.
I've got a bunch of Deanna Troi action figures that have been given to me or I've come upon throughout the years, and my nieces keep like popping the heads off, or, you know, because they're action figures, they'll be segmented down straight down the middle, and so like they'll pop Deanna in.
Oh, I have her autograph from when I was a kid, somewhere up in my room. But yeah, my uncle was very into Star Trek.
That's awesome.
So I've got pictures of me as like a 5 or 6 year old, like posing like I'm scared with like two, you know, Klingons. I love conventions. I'm so excited about this.
Well, just when you have things like this, how much can you really enjoy them if you're just looking at them like that?
Right. Yeah. I'm not here to look at blister packaging, and I'm not here to look at cellophane.
Exactly. I mean, you look at the back, you see it in there. That's it. I mean, what do you do with it? I think like if you're getting it just to collect it. You're not getting it to collect and enjoy.
Well, if you really are a collector, I really think the rule is you buy two. When you find them, you buy one for the packaging, the other to take apart and display on your shelf.
Yeah.
I know because of that attitude, I've found all kinds of great back issue trade paperbacks that are just like the corners are nicked up and things like that, which is fine for my opinion because I'm going to read them and put them on my bookshelf.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, if you're really a collector, buy two. And by the way, I'm sure that breaks the producer's heart, too, that they sold two units instead of one.
Yeah. So if you like it enough to support it and buy, say, the action figures or the trade paperbacks or whatever, you may as well just buy two.
And let's be honest. If you have opened up that collectible action figure, if you've opened up that trade paperback, if you've opened anything having to do with nerd and geek culture, you need a second one, come on off to the Gem City Comic Con. I'm sure you can find one there somehow. I'm sure it's going to be huge. I'm telling you, we will have more details on jumpdriveradio.com. So be looking for us. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Comic Cons, did you guys hear about Gallifrey 1 in Los Angeles?
Shut the front door to borrow a phrase from Miss Amber over there. Forget that noise. He told me like the day of it, hey, by the way, Gallifrey is going on right now. What? And then since I subscribed to Nerdist, all weekend all I got was pictures
Chris
of him.
Would not shut up.
I know, it was like...
Did you see the picture of him dressed as the 10th Doctor in the TARDIS?
Oh, my God.
It was great.
I want a TARDIS for my birthday. My birthday's coming up March 3rd. You've got some wood. You could... You could throw that together for me.
Just give him a few days. I
need to find him one of those Shaun of the Dead shirts that says that I got wood on me.
Yeah, Nick Frost shirt.
Yeah, yes, I need. That's what I need. That's what you're getting for your
Wow. I did a cosplay group at Dragon Con one year based on Shaun of the Dead, but we did an all girl, and we had Shauna and Edna, and she made a T-shirt that said "I need wood."
That's cool. That's very cool.
But yes, I wanted to go to Gallifrey 1. I mean, I'm so jealous.
Here's the thing about the Gallifrey 1 and the Comic-Con stuff. I don't want to be this guy, the elitist guy, but I'm gonna. I remember watching PBS and watching, like, the Fourth Doctor when I was a kid. I remember, like, the old ones. And actually, like, started going back through Netflix streaming and actually going to the library and things, trying to find these old episodes to rewatch some of them. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it, but a lot of people, the first they ever heard was when the Ninth Doctor shows up.
What was it,
2005, I think, was the quote-unquote reboot. Though they kept all the history of the reboot.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I wouldn't call it a reboot.
Well, whatever. The point is...
It was a continuation.
New graphics, new production values, all of that. Apparently more than $10 to throw in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet that Gallifrey 1 was filled with people who were looking for Rose Tyler, and that's it. Like, they had no idea who some of the older... what was it? Ramona? The Time Lord that he traveled with? During the Keys of Time series?
Yeah.
I was one of those people who came in with the Ninth Doctor. I mean, I knew about Doctor Who. I knew about Tom Baker. I knew what TARDIS stood for.
Okay.
But I wasn't terribly familiar with the show. I think a lot of those people who came in with Christopher Eccleston watched back. You know, they went back and did what you're doing, and now they're familiar with the majority of the Doctors.
I had seen some of it, but I never really was fully, I don't know, it didn't grab me. Like, I really enjoyed the original BSG. And then I saw the reboot, I guess you'd say reboot, and mm-hmm. I really liked that as well. The earlier Doctor Who's I saw, now if I go back and watch them, I just don't like them as much as I did originally after seeing the newer ones.
Is it the problem of the actual formatting? Because instead of having one episode that had one big arc.
They had like five episodes.
They would have like... It was like five or six, and there would be a big cliffhanger ending to the next one. Did that get in the way, or is it the fact that all the monsters were made of rubber?
Yeah, I don't think it's aged well at all.
Rubber monsters, I dig that.
Now, I think the stories themselves are good,
mm-hmm.
but as a visual format, I just don't think they're as enjoyable as they were when I was younger.
I think the writing's better now.
In general,
it depends on who writes it, because there's, what's his name, Stephen Moffat. Blink.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's Russell T Davies with every episode's like, it's the end of the universe, Deus Ex Machina, fixed.
I really wish that was like a spell, Deus Ex Machina. Done.
That's really
like the easy button.
You can really tell the episodes that he's written, because it's always like, oh my god, this is the most most important, powerful thing ever.
There's a format to Davies episodes, but to give credit where credit's due, Davies also brought it back. Davies was the one responsible for, you know, essentially making Doctor Who cool again, or really cool for the first time.
At the very least, making bow ties cool.
Yeah.
That's been a while. He left the show now.
They have made it cooler. Now that bow ties are cool. They have made it cooler.
Yeah. I mean, Christopher Eccleston is also responsible for that. He was a complete badass.
Yeah, he was
as far as the Doctor goes. It's sarcastic.
It's weird. He's funny and sarcastic, and he's also, like bleeding heart and empathetic, and, like, there's a weird flaw thing, which I guess... The Ninth Doctor is actually the one that actually makes the Time War happen, that destroys all the Daleks and all the Time Lords except him, or at least to his knowledge. By the way, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched if you haven't watched the show from 5 years ago. But no, by the time I had a lot of trouble with Tennant, because Tennant was way goofier. Instead of sarcastic,
goofier, but
he was goofy.
Kind of more of a hard ass.
Well, that's the thing. As it goes through, he really gets vicious. Like it's not just him being a hard ass. He's vicious about things.
Well, they also describe him in a couple of different episodes as, well, you're this lost lonely prince and things like that. So they kind of romanticize Tennant, whereas personally I felt that Eccleston, what I think really drew me to him is he reminded me so much of Tom Baker, like in a lot of ways.
Really?
Yeah, I think the way that his sense of humor worked and the way that he got things done. But I grew up actually watching the Tom Baker episodes.
Let's call them by their proper names, the Fourth Doctor and the Ninth Doctor.
Sorry.
I think of them as Tom Baker and Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah.
I tried to build my own canine robot when I was a kid. That's how bad I am.
They both have the tendency to just give up. What?
She tried to build her own canine, and that family dog never recovered.
Kind of like your reference to my Twitter the other day.
Yeah. What was that? You were talking about robots.
The
you're trying to build
GPP,
your own.
It's Hitchhikers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't recognize it. And basically, I accused Todd of trying and failing at building a robot dog, and that's how we ended up with Hector.
See, you should
be the failing.
you should be following us on Twitter. Look at all the stuff you're missing.
That's right.
You actually miss a lot if you don't follow us on Twitter. Let's be honest. You miss a lot about my daily life, what I'm eating, what I'm thinking about, what I might or might not decide to watch on Hulu.
Might or might not. I think we're going to talk about Big Bang Theory. Someone wanted to?
Yeah, speaking of what we're watching or not watching on Hulu, what do you guys think of Big Bang Theory?
I like
terrible.
It.
It's terrible.
I like it. I like it.
You got very mixed feelings here at the Jump Drive Radio.
I just can't get into it. I have watched parts of episodes. I haven't even watched the full one. I literally walk away from it. Yeah.
I've watched probably a good 6 or 7 episodes, and every one of them seemed...
Bazinga!
But that's my point. It's like
Zynga was implied.
That's my point with that's the problem with the whole thing. It's pandering, and instead of it being, you know, oh look, here's a blue collar guy. Oh, here's some nerds, and look, they use nerd language, and they're nerds.
They learned string theory.
Yeah, but they don't know what string theory is, and they don't explain what string theory is, and that's probably a whole different show. Don't get
you
me wrong.
You want them to explain all the science behind what they're talking about.
I would like to be able to believe that they know what string theory is. I would like to actually be convinced that they are in fact nerds and not just stereotypes that are easy to poke fun at. Because I feel like what it comes down to, it's like, it's the thing that Amber yells at me for doing. If you go back and listen to some of the early episodes, I do the nerd voice, but that's the thing. Like, that's not really a.
There are things about it that I enjoy. I probably enjoy it for the reasons that a lot of nerds enjoy it, is that I like the references, I like that I get most of the references, but there are aspects there where it is reinforcing that stereotypical nerds cannot function in normal society thing, and it's reinforcing that to the general public. I mean, that show is really popular. It's like the most popular sitcom on TV. And then they also reinforce...
I think that is why it's popular, is because it reinforces the stereotype. And I know we're supposed to be funny and this isn't supposed to be political, but it's really the equivalent, in my opinion, of having a show where you have a female character who's really mouthy, and then the male character beats the mouthy female, like, because she had it coming, because we all know that women are mouthy.
To the moon.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. We're going to put this in the same category as the Honeymooners, the Flintstones, the Jetsons, and Big Bang Theory. These are all things that Todd doesn't like.
Well, Well, one of the biggest... Honestly, I like the jokes and stuff on it. There's quite a few things that I enjoy about it, but my biggest problem with Big Bang Theory is that the women on it can either be attractive or they can be smart.
Right, yeah.
You can either be a hot female or you can be a geeky female, and those two things are completely mutually exclusive.
There's no way that, geeky women can be attractive at all.
Yeah, and yes, we know this is radio, but Miss Lisa Bunny...
I was just saying, I was like, oh, come on now, Miss Amber over here.
With her Leia shirt. At night.
Todd over here.
You can come meet us at, of course, at Gem City Comic Con, and right, we're going to get dolled up for it, so we're excited.
Yes, we will be there.
Okay, I'm a self-professed nerd, and I watch that show, or what I've seen of it, and it seems like it tries too hard.
Well, the laugh track, I think, is a big part of that.
Some of the stuff they joke about, it doesn't seem... It seems fake, phony.
Right.
And I...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not believable. It's not convincing.
No, not at all.
And I... Like, Jim Parsons is the tall one on... And he's... I can't remember what the character's name is.
Sheldon.
Sheldon. He plays Sheldon. I really like him.
Me too.
He's very charismatic. I will give you that.
Like, he's very talented. He's done a lot of Broadway. The actor has, you know, he is really good. And I like the character of Sheldon because it really does, that character reminds me of a lot of geeks I know. But it's also, that character right there is what people think of when they think about geeks.
I don't know if that's true, because...
And clearly the character has, like, Asperger's.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, he looks like someone... He reminds me of, like, someone suffering from Asperger's.
I wouldn't say he suffers from Asperger's. I think he's...
You've apparently never met someone with Asperger's.
Oh, yes, I have.
See, I really think that's...
I think he's just particular. And that he kind of, like, if you watch enough of the episode, you kind of get this weird idea that his upbringing was kind of odd and overly religious, and he's got a strange relationship with his mom.
Yeah.
But he's got his particulars about certain days of the week, how those are the days we eat certain things. And
but
it's just...
That's why I think he has...
That's exactly what you're describing. That's what this is.
And that's not what I really consider as Asperger's. I just think it's being like...
No, they're usually really specific. They have schedules.
Very specific areas of interest. And
they have, like, the amazing ability to focus, like, beyond what... Yeah, beyond what should be reasonable. They can pick a topic and get way, way, way into it and really good at it, and that's why everything else suffers.
But have you ever met anybody with Asperger's who's that, like, socially...
Yes.
Yes.
That's that charismatic. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to name any names because you never know who's listening, but absolutely, once we...
Miss Lisa Bunny?
No, believe me, it's not you. If anything, you're... What's the opposite of...
ADHD.
Yeah, that's Lisa Bunny. So, you guys, I was watching... Hey, look, a bunny.
It's a night bunny, Todd. Stop the car. We have to watch it.
It's a night bunny.
Night bunnies are the bunnies
of all bunnies.
They're the bunnies of the night, and they're good luck when you come across them.
They are
the bunnies
sluts
of the night.
Actually, Julia and I used to have a song about night bunnies when we'd see them, and it basically went... Like that. Night little bunnies! Boy, the bunnies!
Boy, baby boy!
Well, I guess what Lisa Bunny's trying to tell you is we will be performing this coming Saturday, speaking of Dayton, Ohio, at Gilly's in downtown Dayton. G-I-L-L-Y. Gilly's Jazz Club there in downtown Dayton as part of a fantastic...
Baron's Ball!
The Baron's Ball, exactly. So make sure to come out, be supportive. Lisa Bunny will sing the Night Bunny song for you on stage.
I'm going to bring a Night Bunny.
And it's only $5 to get in. It should be a great time.
Yeah, and if you watched our previous episode 11, we go in great detail about the Baron's Ball. So
you can find that at jumpdriveradio.com.
You guys have any costume ideas?
We have surprise costumes.
Yeah, surprise. Well, surprise is in costuming and also in our act altogether. It's going to be a different kind of set list, but also we've got some things going on with it. So we don't want to say too much.
Yeah.
Do you have a costume in mind, Nick?
I think I might just use my Halloween costume.
Oh, you were Dr. Horrible.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's solid. Yeah.
That's going to be a hit.
My wife worked very hard. She made it from scratch. Literally sewed.
That's very cool.
That is awesome.
And yeah, so I loved it, and I think I'm going to wear it again.
That's awesome.
Cool. I didn't get to see it the first time, so I'm very pleased with that.
If I can find, a peasant blouse, like, a white peasant blouse. I'm going to be doing the gypsy thing, I think.
Oh, I'm sure we can find something.
Actually, I thought you meant, like you said, off the shoulder peasant blouse.
Like one of the elastic or tie necklaces.
Yeah, no, I have one of those. I have one of those. Really? Well, absolutely.
All right, then I'm definitely doing the gypsy thing, yeah.
All you need now is your Wonder Woman makeup to
go ahead and,
do your Wonder Woman gypsy makeup.
I was thinking about doing a fortune teller thing, though, and blacking out a tooth.
Sorry.
Gypsy.
No. You could be, one of those glamorous, beautiful gypsies,
that's
Esmeralda.
Probably what it's, my sense of pride is too high to do the blackout.
You can go as the blind gypsy sister from Fable.
Cassandra was a blind seer.
Moisturize me.
No, Cassandra. Well, yeah. Oh, because that's the same lady who does the voice.
That's exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
Speaking of Doctor Who.
Yeah. I would love to do that. If I could do the, if I had time to make the hood, the red hood, I would love to do that.
That'd be very cool.
Speaking of the Wonder Woman makeup line, have you guys heard the casting news for the Wonder Woman TV show that is apparently definitely going forward?
It's
going to
be Lucy Lawless.
Anymore.
It's going to be Lucy.
We all wish Lucy it was Lawless. Lucy Lawless.
I am actually. I watched the entire of what's been done so far of the Spartacus Blood and Sand because of some random tweet that Amber did like 2 weeks ago about Wonder Woman series before any of this was confirmed or who they had picked, and I was like. I read the article and I was like, Lucy Lawless should do it. And I was like, maybe she's gotten older or something. Why isn't Lucy Lawless, in this article anywhere? Like, they're considering her or anything. So then I Google image search about Lucy Lawless, and then I end up watching Spartacus beginning to end because I'm still on the fence as to whether or not I like it.
I've only seen the first two episodes, but I gotta say, Lucy Lawless is looking young and firm, and I think she could still play
strong,
Wonder Woman.
She plays very intelligent and beautiful, strong women characters, and she does a fantastic job on it.
You haven't seen Battlestar yet, right?
I haven't, and
want
to because
she's amazing
you've been
in Battlestar.
I'm such a huge Lucy Lawless fan.
Well, who did they actually get for Wonder Woman?
It's an actress named Adrienne Palicki.
I've never heard of this person.
I guess she was in, if you've ever seen any Supernatural, she played Sam's girlfriend that dies in the first episode.
Oh.
Jessica.
Okay.
And then she was on that show, Friday Night Lights, which I've never seen.
Never seen.
I feel like anybody who would have watched Supernatural tuned out when we were ripping Big Bang Theory.
I like the first two seasons of Supernatural. Now
that's why you like Big Bang Theory. It's all coming together.
It's sixth or seventh season now.
One of those shows I'm familiar with, but I just can't watch.
It's the two brothers who are ghost hunters, basically.
Like Demon Hunter, yeah. It's essentially Buffy in male form with a better car.
It's like Ghost Adventures with better graphics.
Yeah. But they've got that really awesome car. Back to the Wonder Woman. Speaking of the Wonder Woman TV show. Back to the TV show. Adrienne Palicki, who nobody apparently knows, and it's being produced or written or directed by David E. Kelly, who did Ally McBeal, The Practice, Boston Legal.
Boston Legal, fantastic show.
Boston Legal is awesome.
I don't get into the lawyer shows so much, but it's definitely a show worth watching, and the characters are just so intelligent and interesting, and William Shatner's in it, and apart from Star Trek, I think it's one of my all-time favorite parts I've ever seen William Shatner in.
Such an amazing cast on that show.
Have you seen T.J. Hooker?
I was watching that last night when I didn't sleep until 8 or 9 in the morning.
Seriously? You watched T.J. Hooker last night?
Well, I watched about the first 15 minutes of it before I was like, this is the
cringe. That is weird.
Last night! Okay, this is Lisa's night, in case anybody is wondering. I made ridiculous, idiotic tweets, and also on my Facebook about stupid commercials that I was watching. I was up until literally 8 or 9 a.m. with insomnia. I watched iRobot. Oh, shit.
Don't apologize. Keep going.
I watched iRobot. I watched T.J. Hooker. I watched, something else we mentioned earlier, but I just couldn't sleep, and then I just kept staying up watching literally, garbage.
Well, we talked about Stargate. James Spader, who was in the Stargate movie, was also in Boston Legal. He was the other lawyer.
That's right.
That's true.
Or the other main lawyer. I mean, it was all lawyers. But Candace Bergen was on it, who Candace Bergen can do no wrong, in my view.
Candace Bergen, I'm not familiar.
She played Murphy Brown.
Murphy Brown? Are you kidding me?
Sorry, if you called her Murphy Brown, I would know who she is.
Well, okay, Murphy Brown is in it, and Murphy Brown can do no wrong.
I know, she's great in that, too. She's matured beautiful woman.
She is really gorgeous. Odo from Deep Space Nine. That's right. Renee, whatever his last name is.
Not Zellweger.
Yeah, it's some French name.
Probably be français. I'm a different French.
I can't remember. But I mean, it obviously does all this law, and I think Chicago Hope we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
So now that we kind of know his backstory, do you trust him to do a good job with Wonder Woman?
There are some things that I will, you know, because I'm a diehard Wonder Woman fan, that I will never really trust. I don't know that they'll ever be able to do it justice. There's a lot of stuff that they're talking about for the series that I'm not hugely comfortable with. I'm trying really hard to reserve judgment. I'm hopeful. I don't know enough about the actress to feel really strongly one way or another. I'm hoping she'll do a good job.
I think if they give her, you know, a good show to perform in, you know, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. I'm nervous. And they're like, as you are, I dig David E. Kelly from his previous work, but I'm worried about what I've read so far about what the show is supposed to be. There's a lot of mention of these two separate personas, but not so much mention of the Wonder Woman persona in the articles that describe her life. And it sounds like a Gossip Girl type, you know, she's busy woman and, you know, all the different love interests she has and, you know, how she's got this one girl confidant friend. And all the whole article was about this. And it's like, if you take the name Wonder Woman off the top, it doesn't sound like a show about, you know, this character.
A superhero at all?
Yeah, it really doesn't. So
it really
that
sounds like you guys are talking about Smallville.
Well, that would be
talking me
some
of that show.
You know what I mean?
I'm really nervous.
Yeah.
At the very least, we can expect that Mr. Kelly will not be doing the spin explode Wonder Woman change effect.
I don't remember her exploding. I remember spinning.
No, she in the 70s she would spin and like this weird explosion thing would happen.
It was like a shower of white.
Yeah.
It wasn't like an explosion. When you say explosion,
it's
I think
a transition
fire.
Cloud.
Listen, it's you're thinking of like 90s effects. It's 70s special effects.
I'm very familiar with this show.
What do you think comparatively of this Adrian Pilecki's looks compared to, say, Linda Carter?
I really dug Linda Carter as Wonder Woman. I particularly, I liked her outfit, although I really like the old, like, actually the old-fashioned comic book outfit, where it was kind of like little shorts.
Like
instead
a little 50s outfit or 40s outfit?
Yeah, yeah, I really thought that was adorable, and so that's one of my favorite, like, all-time Wonder Woman, you know, outfits that she's ever worn. But the 70s Linda Carter series, I started watching it one day when I was, like, in middle school or something, because it would rerun on Sci-Fi.
Right.
And I ended up, like, really, really into this show. And I would hope that, you know, yeah, there's cheesiness, but I would hope that when they bring back this new Wonder Woman show, they keep some, like, the elements of Wonder Woman. Because she's got star-spangled pants and, you know, the red and the gold and everything. But that's what she is. So if it's going to be a little cheesy, I would still respect it.
Yeah, I agree. But there's an element of superhero that you have to have an element of cheese with if you're going to do the superhero. The Smallville, I think in Smallville, when they were, you know, they're trying to do the Superman origin story, you lose all of that superness. There's, like, I didn't feel like there was a level of that superhero history there.
Just simply because he didn't put on the cape.
Well, not just that. Yeah, I guess mostly the cape and the tights and the colors. You know, they did a good job working the colors into it. It just didn't feel like Superman to me.
So that's my,
to feel like Wonder Woman.
Precisely. And that, what was that series you mentioned before that had been kind of a Wonder Woman reboot in which she's running around, you know, in her dark jeans and, you know, fighting crime?
Oh, that's the current Wonder Woman comic.
Yeah.
Right. She's still doing that.
So I'm almost wondering if that's what's going to, the direction they're going to go, like, not make her so super.
And I hope not.
But that was the Birds of Prey problem.
Yeah.
There was, like, no resemblance, or even the Catwoman problem, the Catwoman movie. There was, like, no resemblance whatsoever to the actual character.
Yeah, in Birds of Prey, I mean, it's almost like they took the name and then did whatever they want with it.
Right.
I mean, like, they made in the Birds of Prey show, they made Huntress Bruce Wayne's daughter. I mean,
that makes all kinds of things.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne and Catwoman. There's a lot of things that could go right about this, and there's a lot of things that could go wrong.
So, I guess we'll just wait and see.
I think basically what you're saying is the 70s did it right.
70s did it better than a lot of people have lately.
we'll see with the characters. So far, my vote is for Linda Carter.
Can we just have Linda Carter back? That would be great.
You know,
she's
I'm
still
okay.
looking good.
She was, yeah, she was in some movie a few years back. It was like How High, Sky High.
She was in
Sky High, and she looks fabulous. She really, really aged well. She looks, you know, a woman like her, or like Gina Torres, or like Lucy Lawless, mm-hmm. that I see that strong woman character that you want to see in like a Catwoman or a Wonder Woman, or, you know, a super. Actually, I would have liked Gina Torres' Storm over Halle Berry because
it's, she would have been great as Storm.
You want that in a superhero. It needs to be believable.
Where she's fierce on her own and she doesn't need the X-Men or whoever to back her up. She's fierce enough on her own.
You want
to
believe that she can kick ass, not that
one good shove is gonna.
Yeah, like Halle Berry. You know, God bless her, but that woman is very, very feminine and very petite, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't look at her and think she should be Storm.
Yeah,
This actress is really athletic, the one that they picked for the new series. I guess she's run marathons and things like that. I remember reading that. So we'll see how she does. I'm not gonna condemn this show because I love Wonder Woman. I would love to see them do good things with this show.
Does she run marathons in 26 miles?
Less than 12 parsecs.
Well, I suppose with that we should go ahead and do it. In case you're just joining us for the first time here at Jump Drive Radio, we decided a few weeks ago to go back and revisit all of the Star Wars movies. That's right, we're going to watch the entire Star Wars saga from Episode 1 to Episode 6. I think we're going to skip some of the Outer Rim novels and the Cartoon Network Clone Wars and all that, but the main six movies. We've already covered Episodes 1 through 3, which were the prequels, which were done in late 90s, early 2000s. So now it's finally time for everybody's favorite, Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
Is it actually anybody's favorite, though?
Mine's always Return of the Jedi.
Mine's Empire.
Empire
Strikes Back,
Of the original 3, 4, 5, and 6, I probably lean on Return of the Jedi.
Because the Ewoks,
as well.
They're so cute.
That's why Tom likes them, I'm sure.
That's absolutely it.
That's why I like that one best as a kid, and it's just always been my favorite.
Well, we're here to talk about Episode 4. We'll get to Episode 6 soon enough. Did you guys get to see the remastered versions or the actual original version?
I saw the remastered.
We did as well. Our video store that we went to only had the remastered version, so that's what we went with.
That's what I ended up watching this weekend. I mean, I watched the original about 2 weeks ago.
So you've seen both the unaltered version, let's say,
within recent time, yes.
And then I guess you're the one to ask. What is there? Does the remastering help it? Because I felt like I saw the original several times when I was a kid, and then I actually saw it in theaters, the remastered version. So comparing the two of them, I felt like it actually helps the story most of the time.
Most of the time, maybe. You have the weirdness, like with the whole Han who shoots first.
Han,
in terms of graphics and things like that, I actually thought the original was kind of cooler.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's like even for the 77, 78,
77, yeah.
It was good, and I think it's aged fairly well, unlike my opinion of Doctor Who. The CGI, of course, makes it better, but.
So you're totally okay with. Oh, we'll lose them. I know some moves, and we veer slowly to the left. That's cool, right?
Well,
just want to make sure I know what you're talking about. Because I know in the remastered version, when Han goes running at all the stormtroopers to scare them off to allow the other ones to escape, in the original, he runs into like three of them standing around. Whereas in the remastered version, there's like a battalion that he runs up on, like, and runs back screaming, right. And it makes a little more sense.
And you have the other things, like there was a scene with the Jabba that wasn't in
I thought that really helped the story. Yeah. I thought that kind of helped flesh out Solo's backstory. Yeah,
absolutely.
So when he keeps referencing, and when you see he's motivated by money, it's not just because he's greedy. He's really on the run for his life because he's made some bad choices.
That's why I didn't really agree with the change to who shot first. Like, I think he should have shot first. I think it would have better with the backstory.
I think he would have. I mean,
I agree. Yeah, I'm with you there. It would make sense if. Well, let's be honest. Greedo shows up and he's talking about how there's a price on his head, dead or alive, and he eases that blaster out of that holster. It's like, oh, really? Tell me more. And gets him talking and gets him right where he wants him.
Right.
Yeah, he knows he's going to have to shoot his way out.
Right. It shows him as a dangerous character who, by the way, may be a little untrustworthy at first, but a dangerous character that you want on your side when it comes time to shoot the real bad guys, the stormtroopers.
Yeah. Mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
One of the things I do like was we were referencing when he sits down with Obi-Wan and Luke, and they're like, "Do you really have a fast ship?" Well, we made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. I'm sure all of you know the joke here. Well, I assume it was a joke.
Yeah,
a parsec is actually a measure of distance, not a measure of speed. So you can't really, if there's a set racetrack, if there's a set course of 12 parsecs. You can't do it in less than 12 parsecs. And I know there's a lot of retconning, talking about, well, the way the hyperdrive works, it goes through a different part of the, a different dimension to loop through the, no, that's nonsense. He was bragging and he didn't know what he was talking about. That's why Kenobi gives the look to Skywalker.
Yeah.
If you pay attention to it, that's what that's about.
One of the things that I felt like when I was watching it, you know, when, I've got to say, sand people are really freaking scary. They're really scary.
They're scarier in this than they were
in,
what was it, episode 2?
Episode 2, when
I remember being, like, really terrified in that when I was a kid watching that scene where he, you know, the sand guy is looming over Luke and shaking that stick. That is really scary.
Yeah.
And they rip C-3PO's arm off.
Right?
Yeah.
And weird. He just will not shut up.
You know, that's the thing. I don't remember disliking C-3PO as much as a child as right now.
We didn't know how much of a whiner he was. I mean, really, the newer three movies really established him as a guy who will not shut up.
And he doesn't really help with exposition either. It would be one thing if through asking questions or whatever, we kind of understood the story and the universe. You know, we kind of had a little bit of understanding through his eyes. But no, it's really like, No, don't go in there.
His main function is to translate for R2-D2.
Who is way more interesting to watch, and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what his job is to tell you what R2-D2 is saying.
Or to tell him to get up when he falls down.
Yes, he falls over a lot. I was noticing this, R2-D2 is constantly just tipping over, even though he's got three legs. He seems to be completely sturdy most of the time, but occasionally he'll just fall over. You know, like, he'll get startled. Or he'll short circuit, and if he should short circuit and just stand there dead, he falls over. I don't know why. I noticed, like, the level of droidmance or bromance or whatever between C-3PO. It's droid love between two droids.
It would still be romance, as in, like, robot mance.
Romance, I like that. But, I mean, he obviously kind of stepped up to play a little bit later on in the series, which we'll obviously get to.
And like Jedi and stuff, he really does.
Yeah.
He kind of pulls his weight for the first time. In the first scene where the Corellian Corvette is going under the big ship, I was feeling completely, like, overwhelmed and impressed all over again.
Well,
like,
if you're...
It's
that,
such an awesome scene.
It just... The Corvette just rises up, and you're like, oh my god, look at that. That's so cool. And then that Star Destroyer just...
Yeah.
That's cool.
And it's awesome.
Huge.
That scene is still cool, even to this day. From 1977 to
absolutely.
Now, that scene is awesome. I was noticing that apparently Princess Leia was a senator, which I don't remember.
I didn't remember.
But they
that
reference her as being a senator on a... actually, this even makes less sense. She's a senator on a diplomatic mission to Alderaan. Why senators are going on diplomatic missions, I don't know. And why she's going back to Alderaan?
Yeah, because she was adopted by by Organa,
that's where she grew
who
up.
Lives on Alderaan in the last movie, right?
It's like me going on a diplomatic mission to Kettering or Dayton. I can't wait to go back to Dayton where I live to do a diplomatic mission.
So she's a princess senator.
Yes, she's a princess senator diplomat.
As opposed to Amidala, who was a queen senator.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe she moved away and was going back home for her mission.
They really seem to miss out on the levels of government and who does what.
It's interesting.
I understand that the episodes 1, 2, and 3 were made before episodes 4, or made after, excuse me, 4, 5, and 6. But you've had 25 years to come up with a way to sync up the script from 3 to 4.
It really feels like you just banged them out one day on the typewriter.
And the best way to kind of, like he said, sync them out, like make them... make the transition smooth between them, was to go back and add all that CG and, you know, the things that they added, I feel like made 4 seem a little, I don't know, like, because there's all this, like, what you would call older, like, the older technology and the butt pits and things like that, with the CGI alongside it, the transition doesn't seem as smooth.
I think you're missing what I'm saying here. Like, Obi-Wan Kenobi is, let's say, 35 in episode 3.
Oh,
and he's like 78 in episode 4. And by the way, episode 4 was the first one made. But maybe episode 3 he should have been a little older.
Yeah.
They really could have put some gray in there or something. I mean, it really does seem like he aged 40 years in between the 18 or 20 years that it's supposed to be.
Yeah, if you add it up, it's like 18 or 20.
Yeah, right. I mean, because Luke's pretty young.
Yeah, he's young enough to still be working at his parents' farm.
Yeah, and wanting to go off to college or whatever.
But I was going to go to Tashi Station for power converters.
Yeah, there's different things like that in terms of timelines. They just don't add up.
Yeah. And those are easy fixes. I mean,
by the way, we're not talking about like the film problems, because there's all kinds of little things. You know, you can go on YouTube and see the videos where Vader force chokes the first guy when they first go into the Corvette, and he throws his dead body against the wall, but somehow the dead body holds his hands up and smacks hands first into the wall instead of face first like he was supposed to.
Oh, my favorite is the stormtrooper who whacks his head. Everybody comes, like, marching into this room, and the last stormtrooper in, like, whacks his head on the door thing and just kind of plays it off. And they didn't edit that out.
I did. We talked about this, I think, in episode 1. Why are all the stormtroopers and clone troopers different heights? It turns out somebody on Twitter, AJ Gaming, told me that the reason is because they all started out as clones, but in the 40 years since the clone army was founded, they've sort of gone to, like, normal enlistment.
Okay.
So there may still be a few clones running around, but it's essentially, like, an enlistment army now.
Okay, that makes sense. So they don't all have to be the same size. No,
and some of them can still walk into, like, oh my gosh, I just got on this ship. This is my first tour of duty. Clunk.
Yeah.
So that makes Boba Fett pretty old, too, though. If you think about it.
Jango Fett was his dad, and he was 8?
Eight to ten.
Second
episode,
so he's,
Well, pretty, I don't know what the lifespan of his race is, but yeah, he would, I guess, be in, like, in his 40s, right?
Yeah, he's pretty spot.
Yeah, at least.
Let's say 30s, because if you add it up, Anakin Skywalker as Darth Vader walking around is supposed to be in his early 40s.
Yeah.
If you really do the math. So I guess Boba Fett would be in his 30s somewhere.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I think is the age Batman's supposed to be, so...
Okay. Theoretically, even though Batman technically just had his 50th birthday, I believe.
It's one of those things where they just don't
technically
age.
Like, since the start of the comics?
No, the first comic was in 1939, so it's not technically.
I think he just had his, like, the character just had his 50th
birthday.
Oh,
okay, so Batman's 50.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Obviously he's been around since.
Right.
Bob Kane. Is Bob Kane dead now?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And if he's not, I'm sure we'll hear about it. JumpDriveRadio.com. He's in his early 40s, so...
Right.
And in the last movie, in episode 3, we see where he's leading the charge against the Jedi. So he's going through... He's the one leading Order 66, executing all the Jedi, running around. In this movie, did he seem... Like, he seemed like a relatively powerful character by the end of it, when he's in his mask walking around. Did he seem that way to you guys in this one?
He was seriously getting bossed around in this one. There's that guy that sasses him when they're in the big board meeting. Like, the meeting of the dark side.
Right, making the meeting of the dark side.
Yeah, I like the board meeting of the dark side best.
Call them stupid.
And that guy's, he's like, you're an idiot, your tactical ideas are stupid.
Well,
and
it's more like your religious ideas are stupid, because at this point.
And so he starts to choke him, and he chokes him for a little bit, and then that the guy that's the captain or whatever.
The Grand Moffat.
The Grand Moffat is like, fair, cut it out. Sit down, shut up.
Down, boy.
Yeah. And he
stops. Stop choking everyone all the time.
Yeah, and he stops. Like, Vader is...
You never let me choke anybody.
Well, he's kind of turning into a serial choker.
Yeah, he really is.
I mean, he needs to have a little more diversity to his.
I feel like I made one of those when I was a kid with Cheerios. Oh, wow, that's disgusting.
David Carradine joke.
I don't think he force chokes
too
himself.
Soon, Amber. Too soon.
I was going to say, is that? Do we have to do the spoiler alert on that one?
No, David Carradine action.
Google David Carradine. You'll see why this is so funny with a force joke.
David Carradine death.
But I mean, in terms of that kind of one of the things that. I don't know. I would think at this point in time, he's diversified himself more, so he can do more than just force choke. I want to see chain lightning or
force headbutt.
I mean, he pushes people
force
later.
Push.
I mean,
more force push.
Yeah, I want to see more. I mean, there's got to be more than just that.
Well, you know, maybe he does have the abilities, but apparently he's subjugated by the normal humanoid characters running around the Star Destroyer. Actually, I don't know.
Vader, no.
Yeah, down Vader. Bad Vader. We'll get me my space newspaper. I'm trying to think, does he kill anybody in this one?
I don't remember him killing anyone in this
I don't
one.
Either.
I mean,
it's implied.
For when he's in the X-Wing or whatever, he's taken out.
Yeah, and he's when he, I can't remember if he directly kills anyone when he's getting Leia. I don't think so.
Well, he chokes the one guy and throws him against the wall who's supposed to be dead, but his hands go up. So I'm going to count him as a non-kill.
Well, he's completely...
He's a casualty. He's just very injured.
Pratfall.
That was, like, pretty much the only action-y scene that he participated in other than the Death Star battle.
Well, no, he has the sword fight with Kenobi.
Oh,
yeah. He does.
But
he
you
does
don't know it as that because we've just been... In the first three episodes 1, 2, and 3, we've seen all this great lightsaber play, I guess, is probably the term you want to use. But, you know, like sword play, saber play.
Just like David Carradine.
And especially episode 3. It's like the battle between Kenobi and Skywalker
is
just forward, backward, all over, everywhere. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. This one, it's really like Herbert from Family Guy holding his cane.
No, it's slow.
I've got a
and
trick for you in my pocket.
I don't know if they've just progressed better in terms of how they act out in terms of choreography, in terms of movies made now as opposed to the late 70s.
No, I think old Ben was just old in the late 70s.
Old. Too. I mean, he seems really
it
old.
Just, it seemed stiff and not very fake. It seemed fake to me. Well, at least he went out with a... Flash, I guess.
Okay, did you notice this? This is probably the thing that bugged me the most about this. When they were fighting in that battle, he kept going, "Strike me down, Darth. I will become more powerful than you can imagine, Darth. You've already lost, Darth." What? Huh? No, it's Vader.
Yes.
Like, Darth is a title.
It's like Mister.
Yeah.
All right, Mister.
Down, Mister. It's not like you were my brother.
Mister.
Yeah, I was actually thinking how... Compared, like, that scene with Ewan McGregor was really dramatic and heart-wrenching.
Right.
And this whole, like, Darth, strike me down, I will become more powerful than you will imagine. Boring.
Well, can we also assume that Obi-Wan Kenobi, when he meets up with Vader in this film, is not aware that Anakin survived? I mean, how would he know that they're the same person?
No.
Because that may be...
That never even occurred to me.
No.
Do they actually acknowledge it?
When you chop off somebody's legs and their arm and leave them on the bottom of a mountain burning, I mean,
it isn't.
Okay,
like
we need to get to episode 5 and 6, but I'm pretty sure in Return of the Jedi, Luke goes to talk to Yoda, and then Yoda explains what's up with Anakin and Vader, and then he communes with Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan's like, "Yeah, well, I kind of didn't tell you the truth about." So, see, in a way, he did kill your...
See, but maybe he didn't know that until he was struck down and became more powerful than he could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
When
maybe
he closed
that's,
his
like,
eyes.
Some sort of, like, the Force, now that he's dead, told him, oh my gosh, by the way, that's Anakin.
Force,
also,
why did he
Darth
tell
is
him
a title.
Sooner?
Darth is a title.
Yeah, he didn't know all these things.
Damn, well, also, like, you can assume that when you're facing somebody from the Darth side... From the dark side, they all seem to carry, like, this Darth, you know, Darth Sidious, Darth, you know, Darth Maul. So I don't want to, like, if I'm a good guy, honestly, I'm not going to spend my time wanting to know all.
Them?
Yeah, I'm not going to want to know all your
Googles.
Names.
Well, that's a good point. Before Force Google.
I'm just going to call you.
That's the power I want.
Force Google?
Pay attention, LucasArts. That's what I want in the next game. Force Google.
I'm just going to call you all the same thing, though. I mean, like, because the...
Like, hey, guy?
Yeah. I'm not your guy, buddy. I'm not your buddy guy. I'm not your guy friend.
I'm not your evil dark overlord of the universe, pal.
So I guess I could see, like, run around calling them all the same name, Darth, instead of having to learn, you know, Darth A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, whatever the F their names are.
Like hurricanes, they name them
alphabetical order. All right, Darth Katrina.
Wait a second.
That's the messed up shit you don't hold.
Hey, Darth Celia. My insurance doesn't cover this.
Or it could be just at that point, Obi's getting a little senile.
Could
he,
be.
He's getting, like, pretty old.
I think it's more likely he just didn't recognize that they were the same person at that point in his existence.
Or it could just be they didn't know each other initially, and then George Lucas decided to throw that in.
That would be bad writing.
I think
it's
just
bad writing. Right. It could have just been poorly written.
That's going to be it.
I think that's highly unlikely. Bad writing.
But overall, though, I would say that for 1977, yes?
Yeah.
Got to admit it's getting better.
It's good.
It's getting better all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll probably get even better when they make it in 3D.
Seriously?
Well, I'm just assuming.
Are you...
No, I think they are supposed to release all
of
them again.
No, they are. I'm trying to figure out if Nick is actually coming down on the side of re-releasing them in 3D.
Oh, no. I was actually being sarcastic.
Okay, good. I was like, wait a second.
Something like that. It really... You can't... I think the premise are very mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could have gone either way. I didn't really care, to be honest with you. Right? It didn't make the movie that much better or worse with the effects added to it. Good for them. Whatever.
See, of the three remastered ones, I really think the A New Hope remastered...
What's the oldest?
Well, no, it's the best of the remastered ones.
I agree.
I'll have to let you know.
Yeah. Just wait.
Yeah,
it's coming.
We're doing Empire this week, so... I'm really excited about that because Empire is my favorite.
Okay.
It's my favorite, too.
I'm excited.
By the way, this is a callback to one of the previous Jump Drive episodes. Don't get cocky, kid. I got one!
Actually, I'm really excited to see those animal guts, the Tauntaun guts, in 3D.
That's a good point, yeah.
It looks like macaroni.
This time around, if they do it in 3D, I mean, you're going to have 3D Jar Jar probably, too. All of them, right?
Mr. Dawn, what's that? Ever.
But
Nick
overall,
is our resident wet blanket.
He's our resident dum-dum. Right?
Overall, I...
What are other terrible Jar Jar-isms? I don't want to... Give me a headache.
I think it's aged very well, even with the modifications they made. I think Alec Guinness, right?
Alec Guinness.
Good acting. Mark Hamill. God, he just sucks.
Oh!
he sucks.
Are you kidding?
Harrison Ford's really good acting, obviously. But Mark Hamill, he's just... He kills me.
I ever feel like Han might actually just be Harrison Ford, or like Harrison Ford is Han. He's just playing him as himself.
I feel that way about
possibly
a lot of actors.
About Indiana Jones.
I hope that Harrison Ford's actually Indiana Jones, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
that would be cool as hell.
Han's pretty awesome, but yeah. Indiana Jones is, yeah.
But I don't know, what do you guys think?
I think that, you know, I agree with you. They have definitely withstood the test of time, like going back and watching A New Hope.
It's terrible. No, it didn't stand the test of time.
Well, I dug it as a kid. I like
watching.
Well,
neat, but we're doing this objectively as grown-ups now, and it's honestly, Episode 3 is a better movie objectively than Episode 4.
I disagree.
I strongly disagree.
I feel like there's a formula that it was set forth in Episode 4, A New Hope, that everything has followed since then. Maybe it doesn't seem to be as good a movie, but it was the first one doing this for the first time.
Yeah, so it's understandable that it's not going to be...
I mean, yes, it's cheesy, yes, the dialogue is not great, but it's still a good movie.
I mean, you had...
If you take it into consideration for the time period. Yes, if we watched it now, it would be a B-movie.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I really strongly dig B-movies, and going back and watching this, like, with my...
No, what she's trying to say is the space battle movies before this are like the teenage alien that fell from Earth, or, you know...
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So comparatively, where do you think it stacks up?
Well, what did motion picture Star Trek come out? That was after
79.
This. Okay, yeah. I mean, so
this
you
was
had
first, yeah.
You had this in 77. This was pretty badass. And I think you have to take look at it in that aspect. I mean,
okay, this is the fair comparison because 1976, Planet of the Apes.
Okay, all right.
Are you kidding me?
Maybe in terms of effects, I always thought it was a great movie in terms of effects. The way the makeup and stuff, I think it looks fairly
I'm
good.
Just
and
glad honestly, that nobody this... tried to tongue Chewie just like Planet of the Apes.
But in terms Probably of as an overall story and space and sci-fi, in terms of bringing it to a larger audience, a great movie. I think it will be obviously immortal.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it's already immortalized.
It did a great job of establishing this universe. I really dig this movie. Yes. It's not my favorite of the Star Wars original trilogy or of all six, but I definitely I disagree with Todd. I liked it a lot more than the fourth one. So
it is
well,
the fourth one.
There
what?
Is
oh, the
third one. Liked it
screw
more than
that movie.
One.
No, the third one. And even though you know we've got a guy on the bottom, like my favorite part of that movie, I think is end with Anakin, and then you know, and then when he turns into Darth Vader. But I had to wait that long to get it into that movie.
I agree.
So, I mean, I stayed interested, and also the political things that were going on in this movie were a lot easier to understand and to follow. So, I mean, you've got the rebellion and the different things going on with that. To me, it made more sense in this movie. So I don't know. That was my feelings.
In terms of quality, 3 is obviously better, but in terms of, I think foundation, I have to go with 4. In terms of, I don't know. I just like the history aspect of it, I guess.
Okay. Well, we will compare 4 to 5. We will be watching Empire Strikes Back next week. So.
Yay.
I do want to mention. I have been. Getting a lot of people coming up and talk to me in person and actually been getting text messages and email and things like that. So there's apparently a lot of fanboys.
Fanboys,
yeah. I guess. Is that a unisex term?
I actually think that, yeah, well, fanboys, fangirls, but I think fanboys is a fairly unisex term, yeah.
They're pointing out things like we ask the question, why do some of the Jedi fade when they die and why do some of them not fade? Getting responses like, Only Jedi at peace, which is to say at one with the Force, fade away when they die. Not exactly sure what that means, but let me tell you what's going to happen. We are going to find a fanboy. We're going to invite them on here, and we're going to make them explain themselves. We're going to make them explain all these inconsistencies. So if you have anything that you want to contribute, please join us at the forums at jumpdriveradio.com. That way, we'll have something to ask the fanboy when he comes in here. Maybe he can explain everything. Maybe it all makes sense. Maybe we don't know what we're talking about.
There's a good chance.
Yeah, I think.
So we will have a fanboy rebuttal episode coming up here on Jump Drive Radio.
We'll just call it that.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Fanboy rebuttal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it'd be great.
Well, that's what we're going to do. So stay tuned. If this is your first episode, thank you for tuning in. Please check us out at jumpdriveradio.com. Also, don't forget, April 3rd, 2011, we will be representing Gym City Comic Con. There will be details at jumpdriveradio.com. For Amber, Nick, Hector, and Lisa, this is Todd saying,
strike back.
Check out next week's episode at jumpdriveradio.com.